the sermons I've been given, we've been looking at the book of Acts, which is right after you have these four biographies of Jesus in the Bible. And then the story of Acts is what follows afterward. And it looks at what these disciples, what these students of Jesus were doing. And somewhat, I want us to see what we should be like as disciples as well. What disciples do is they make disciples. They learn to be like Jesus and then help other people be that way. And so the question that I keep asking is, are you the kind of disciple of Jesus that you want to be replicated in other people? Are you the type of person that you want to see others become like, because that's becoming more and more like Jesus? So a quick flashback of what we've seen. We saw that Jesus had died and he rose from the dead. He made that very clear. But then he left, went back to heaven and said, I'm giving you guys work to do. I will come back again. But in the meanwhile, you have work. Go be disciples. And so the Holy Spirit comes and gives them power to go out and they start making disciples. And then they started developing these habits, or what we used last week, these habitudes of teaching and of praying, of being together, of remembering Jesus' sacrifice, of giving. And so they start developing these habits that remind them of Jesus. But today, I want to take that a step further, and it's not just having habits, but also disciples make the most of the opportunities that come their way. It's not just being stuck in a habit. Habits are very good, and God uses them in us. But sometimes he uses them to lead us to things outside of our routine. Maybe it starts at a habit, but we need to keep our eyes open for God to break us out of that routine. So the story that we'll look at is Acts chapter 3. There are two disciples, Peter and John, and we're told that they're heading up to the temple at the time of prayer, because that's when they would all meet together at a place called Solomon's Colonnade, and they would meet together and pray. And so these guys are heading there. But as they're walking, they're walking through this gate, and there's a beggar there that says, hey, can you give me some money? Can you spare some change? And at the moment, Peter, instead of saying, sorry, I have to get off to my prayer meeting, I don't have time for you right now, he looks at the man and says, look at us. So the man turns, looks at him, and expects, okay, they're going to give me money. But Peter says, I don't have money. I don't have silver. I don't have gold. But what I do have is I'll give you this. Rise up and walk. And the man is healed in the name of Jesus. Now, he's a lame man. He can't walk. And he's more than 40 years old. So for 40 years about, he's been in the same spot in Jerusalem near the temple. And sometimes you have those people in your life that you go by every day. Maybe you've seen them before, but then that moment comes where the Holy Spirit tells you there's time for a change. There's time for a change in that person's life. And today is that day. Maybe for you, you feel like you've been sitting in the same place for 40 years. And maybe you feel like even Jesus has passed you by, but perhaps today is that day where there will be that change, that here's your opportunity and make the most of it. So going on, Peter had said, I don't have any money, but I'll heal you. And the man gets healed and he stands up on his feet. And so he starts going in with them and he's walking in the temple and all these people are seeing him because they recognize the beggar man. They've seen him all the time. There's the beggar. There's the beggar. And then now he's jumping and leaping and praising God. And they're thinking, whoa, we didn't see that before. They truly believe something miraculous has happened in his life. And so they all start running to them, trying to find out what's going on. Again, this is supposed to be the time for their prayer meeting. That was one of their habits as a group of people, as disciples. They were praying together. But then, well, prayer meeting has changed because there's all these people. And so now it becomes Peter stands up and starts preaching a sermon. And he starts telling them, my fellow people, why are you surprised at this? Why do you stare at us as though we did anything or that's because I'm a special person that this happened? No, if you want to know how this man was now made whole, it's because of Jesus. And Peter goes through some of the things of what Jesus had done and who Jesus was, and he makes it very clear to them. Jesus came, he showed you miracles, you were there, but then you handed him over and he was crucified. And this great line, in one version, he tells them that you killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. It's like life and death, but then death comes back to life. He says, Jesus has come back alive. We know it. We've seen it. Just as we were told at the beginning of the book of Acts, they saw Jesus. They knew it. It wasn't just some, well, maybe this happened or something we believed 2,000 years ago. They said, we were eyewitnesses. We saw it. Jesus is alive. I know it. And it's because of faith in Jesus, this man was made well. And Peter calls to them, now you make that choice to turn around and look to God and accept who Jesus is. So while he's doing that, another change in plans come. In Acts chapter 4, we're told that while they're speaking, that now some priests and some soldiers come up, and they're rather annoyed and unhappy because these people are saying, you all killed Jesus with the help of these priests and other leaders, but now Jesus is back from the dead. And so they're unhappy, and they arrest Peter and John, and because it's late enough in the day, they just put them in jail. Well, that's another change of plans. Peter and John just thought, we're going to do our regular habit. We're going to the temple to pray. And then, oh, there's a man that gets healed. And then, oh, there's people to preach to. And then we're in jail. Sometimes life doesn't go the way that you planned. Sometimes your routine doesn't follow through. But how do you be faithful in those? And how do you make the most of each opportunity? And so the next day, they're put on trial, and Peter and John share and say, well, this is what happened. Jesus, you crucified him, but God brought him back from the dead, and that's why we're standing here, is because we healed a man in Jesus' name. The priests decide, what can we do? Well, let's just threaten them and tell them, do not speak in the name of Jesus. Don't do it. And so they tell them, stop doing this. Stop doing this. And I love the courage and the bravery that Peter and John say, it's up to you guys to decide whether you think it's better for us to obey you or for us to obey God. You pick that for yourselves. But for us, we can't help but talking about all that we've seen and all that we've heard. These were eyewitnesses. They knew what God had done. They knew who Jesus was. And they said, you can try telling me to shut up, but I won't. I can't, because I know that it's real for myself. And then they're sent along their way. For you, have you seen in your life Jesus do incredible things? If so, tell others about it. Be open, be honest with it. So I want to share two examples from my life just from this last week. As I said, we have a team that's on a mission trip to Mallorca, and I was there from Tuesday afternoon till Thursday morning. So it was a very quick trip. What we would do was late at night, so starting at about 11 o'clock at night, we would go out for a few hours, and we would walk along the party streets. There's bars, there's strip joints, there's all these things along the side, and just a whole bunch of people that are there. That way they can go out and party and have a good time. And what we do is we walk into the middle of that and talk to people, try to get into conversations, and say, we're willing to pray for people who are here, anyone, so if you have a prayer request, you can either tell us right now and we'll just pray for you here, or you can write it down on a card and we'll pray for it later. And the amazing thing is, some people said yes. But our goal was, on certain nights we were there just to help people who were too drunk to get back to their hotel, and we would help them there, and the goal was just to be serving them. Other nights it was to walk around and ask for prayer. Well, we were doing one of these prayer nights, and sort of our habit is then we go out, hour and a half, we talk to people, come back and pray for 30 minutes, go out again for an hour and a half, and come back. On the first night, as we're walking around, we find this guy who is completely passed out on a bench. And it's not safe for you to be passed out on a bench there, because either someone will come by and steal your stuff. That happens a lot there. If the police get to you, they probably aren't going to be friendly with the way that they wake you up. While we were walking up, there was a group of guys that were just using it to make fun of him and like, oh, see if you can stick this up his nose, or those sorts of things, because you have drunk people not necessarily doing nice things to other drunk people. So we walked up and we shooed off the other guys and are trying to get this guy to wake up. And at first it's, what's your name? And there's nothing. Do you know what hotel you were from? And then after a few minutes it becomes, what's your name? Do you know your hotel? Okay, I have Frankenstein right now. Let's see where Frankenstein needs to go. And it was taking a long time, and this guy was still very unresponsive, and I'm just praying, God, if this is a distraction, a waste of time, somehow get this off of our hands, because we're supposed to be talking with more people, and there's no good communication going on right now. So, God, what do we do? And then we had two girls who were both from Norway that came up and said, oh, can we help you with this? Because both of them were studying as medical students, one of them to be a nurse, one of them to work with an ambulance. And so she said, I do this kind of things a lot. Let me help you with it. And so they were helping. And then the police came up and an ambulance finally came and got this man. But we started having a discussion with these two Norwegian girls. And as Patrick was talking with one of them and said, well, we're out here, we're willing to pray with people. She said, I don't really believe in God. I'm an atheist, but I envy Christians. I envy you because of like the love that you have. So I don't know that I believe in God, but I envy you Christians. Which was not the thing you expect to hear from people partying at 1 o'clock in the morning. But then he said, well, we're still willing to pray for you. And she said, well, yeah, I don't know. So I said, well, I mean, if you don't believe in it then it's not going to be able to hurt you, right? So you might as well try. And she said, oh, are you religious too? Said, I believe in God. That probably means you think I'm religious. She's like, yeah, kind of. But okay, yeah, sure. But you're going to have to help me because I don't know how to do this prayer thing. And so as five people, these two girls and the three from our team, were standing around in the middle of all the people walking around. And I'm just amazed. And I go, okay, God, I had a plan of what we're supposed to be doing. And then there's this opportunity to help this guy that then I'm wondering, is that what's important? But God worked it out to be a blessing to these two girls. And we were able to at least give them some encouragements and some recommendations of, oh, maybe check out this book or find someone to look into it. Sometimes you go, why is this happening? Why am I taking what seems like a side tour? And sometimes that's what God uses to put you in the right spot at the right time to make the most of that opportunity to bless somebody. So as disciples, may we be making disciples. May we be developing habits of prayer and being together. But in the middle of that, may we see those opportunities that we didn't expect. And may you make the most of those opportunities. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for each of the people in this room. I think you had a reason for them being here today, that this is an opportunity in their life. And I pray that in the songs that have been sung, in the words that have been spoken from up here, or maybe discussions they've had, or something that they read on a paper, that people would know that you're speaking to them, and then that they would respond to it. Maybe like Michael spoke about, they need to relook at their priorities and put those in an order and put you first. Maybe, as Christine spoke about, that there are people who have been feeling full of guilt, and that they would give that to you, that they would receive your eyes of them. They would not walk in condemnation anymore, but they would find a freedom to talk to you, a freedom to have your Holy Spirit work with them to change and grow. God, I know that you're giving us opportunities. That is, it's not even something I need to pray for. We have opportunities. God, give us eyes that we might see them. And then when we see them, I pray that we would have the kind of hearts that obey. We love you very much. In Jesus' name, amen.